Good afternoon, I'm William English and you are listening to Wivelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. The following audiogram was recorded at the Publish and Be Damned Fair on Sunday the 3rd of August.
Well, I'm William English and we are at the Publish and Be Damned Fair. And you represent Meu Muzak, or are you...
I represent two stalls now, Meu Muzak and Olé Records. And this is actually from a friend, Meu Muzak, but he couldn't be here and he asked me if I could do two stalls, so I'm doing two stalls.
Okay, so and it's mostly vinyl, isn't it?
Yeah, I got... Neil Mazak is only vinyl, only 7-inch vinyls. And I'm doing mostly vinyl and some CDs.
Are you both from Holland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Neil is living now in Brussels, but he has been living for, I think, he lived for 10 years in Amsterdam.
Oh, right.
Originally from the south of Holland.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now since a couple of years in Brussels. And I'm living in Berlin now, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So why vinyl at this point in time? Why are you so latching on vinyl?
The first reason was always that it's very cliche. I really love the sound, and I love the I'm taking care of the object. I got quite a big collection of records and at home, and I started buying a couple of CDs, and I always find them through my whole house, and they're always damaged, and I just couldn't take care of CDs somehow. Because I didn't care for them, and so yeah, I thought.
So you continue to produce them on vinyl, but
yeah.
is that limiting as far as the sort of in terms of selling goes these days?
Well, the funny thing is that I'm having a little store in Berlin as well, and I think 70% of what we sell is vinyl and 30% CDs, and somehow people really don't seem not to want CDs anymore. And
right.
and I think since internet and MP3.
Yeah.
I got interested now in MP3 as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm downloading a lot of music, like free download stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's really like vinyl and MP3.
Yeah.
But CDs and...
Oh, so you're bypassing CDs and getting to MP3s.
Yeah, exactly, because I just don't want to spend money on something that's, I don't know, it's just too...
Yeah, yeah. And are they mostly quite limited editions? I mean, what's the size of a print run of one of these?
Most of them are 300, 400 or 500.
Okay.
And... yeah, it goes for all of them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to deal with a customer, go ahead. You know,
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Okay. And is it? I noticed Tom Rechion.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got quite a few of these Christmas singles, which I've played on the program last Christmas actually, and the Christmas before. Why are so many of them Christmas music?
Neil was just very. Guy with a lot of humor, and I think he hates Christmas just like I do. And I got to this club in Berlin, this art space in Berlin, it's called O Tannenbaum, which means Oh Christmas Tree. I have a weird feeling about Christmas as well, like it's supposed to be fun, but at the same time, it's really like horrible, and you have to do things. And I think it's his way to deal with it. And O Tannenbaum is my way to deal with it, like having Christmas all year so you forget about it at all.
Does this mean that the music tends to get played more at Christmas, or people just play them anytime?
I think they play them anytime. Yeah, probably.
So, you're on the Olé label, that's yours.
Yeah.
And which artists do you have on your? Are they? Do they tend to be kind of visual artists who are making music?
Some of them. Yeah. But it's really like every record has a different background, different story. I mean. For example, this Harry Mary guy, he made like I think 200 songs that are completely finished, and he did it on tape. He didn't even use a 4-track or something, he just used like regular set decks, and it's such incredible stuff. I mean, you will never hear anything like this. And but after that he started doing recordings just on the computer, and it's still very good. But these 150, 200 songs were just never released.
Yeah.
And I got 8 original tapes and I listened through them and it was like, this, for me it's the best, one of the best things I think Holland ever did, even like
really?
what he is doing.
Who's this again?
Yeah, Harry Mary.
Okay.
And it's also a very funny name, but I mean,
yeah.
Harry Mary.
Harry Mary.
And,
alright, what about these? What's the LP here? The Hit Machine Music from 9-8?
This is actually the first record we did, and it's my own project. We had a collective of six different artists. We're doing stuff with visual stuff and also with music, and
So it's a compilation. What's the one next to it?
It's a little bit the same story as this one. It's a guy who made the sounds like John Frusciante and Jeff Buckley, something like that. But the best stuff he made, he just recorded it himself, and later he went recording stuff in the studio with real producers, and it's just not that good. And I had to stay at my home and listen it for 100 times, and I really, really like it. Yeah. It's like, well, we should just put this one on vinyl and forget about the rest.
All right. And does it... you make money out of the vinyl? Or is it just break even?
Yeah, it's not break even. Yeah. Okay. It's just... I can continue releasing stuff that I like. And,
Okay.
Well, everybody can draw a line. Everybody can draw a timeline saying from A to B. That's dangerous though, because traditional ways of A to B is scannable by a computer. That's the way a computer thinks. So time is also one thing that has to be challenged. For example, one of the interesting books, which is not that interesting, they don't look so interesting, but one of the interesting books that has been made is this one. Where not that one. That was one book which is very interesting. Can scramble your information. As soon as you use decoration, you can say, well, no information here maybe, no information there, but information between the dotted lines. Well, what is this one? A computer will just read that one as another dotted line, but you, of course, will say, well, it's definitely a sea creature, whatever you will. We'll see there. And that's where you start to go on. Well, as soon as you open that one, then you are action-packed, then you are taking advantage of the computer. And before the computer can say, wow, that is a sea creature, the computer don't go anywhere. So that's where we are. So you can definitely write music. You can write sea creatures all over your book, and you are somewhere. And then we can, of course, discuss if your book is good or bad at the end of the day. But that's not necessarily important. The point is that you basically, it's doing the thing, and it's got a lot of thought in your brain. And if some very interesting composition comes out of this at the end of the day, well, I'm happy. Hopefully, they will. But the problem is also, it's very interesting because for me, as a composer, I'm not, maybe not be the one that's doing the best one at the end of the day. I do some examples, but the problem for me is, all the time I've done an example now, you'll just rip it off because I will go around and present them. So I'll say, this is what I've come up with. And then you say, well, good, I'll just do that, but I'll do a little bit better. So inside this one, and that's interesting also to challenge, because I won't in the European sense be the one really sitting with a sword saying, the composer, I'll be the, yeah, I did this tools, but somebody did much better. And there goes two vinyls with the school book, and it's a school book for radical computer music, which will hopefully make you able to write music that is unscannable for a computer. So very, very simple, and that was where we came from. You have the record. The records and the book, and you write what happened between the records. So it gets harder the more records you include. So for example, if you include this one, and they're all object identified. So if you include this one, you say, okay, that's an black American.
This was an LP which you cut down into the show.
No, it's like this. Well, whatever it was before, that's not of the business. It's a shaped America with some music on. There's a French rap on this
so
one.
So the record is the shape of America.
Yeah, yeah.
How did it, is this unique? This one?
No.
No. There's several of them.
Well, it's relatively unique, but it's, yeah, there's...
How many would be in this edition?
That's not of any interest either, I would say. Not many.
You're not interested.
No, that's not the point. It's a school project, so it's not an art edition. You could say it is, but it's not. It's a school project, so it's yours as soon as you join in. So whatever it is not of interest right now, I would say. Anyway, so what you have to do is saying what happens between a French rapping black America and a celestial dystopian Swiss cheese. Then you have to write that into your book.
Just for the purposes of this, this record is cut into a triangle with holes.
No. That's a dystopian Swiss cheese.
It's a dystopian Swiss cheese made celestial, out of vinyl.
Celestial
with a
dystopian.
Hole in the middle, which you play as a record.
There's music there.
You can play it like a record.
Yeah. Okay. There's an object. Yeah. And between those two objects, there's something happens, and you put that in your book. And by doing that, you become the composer of the final thing. Okay. And hopefully you do something that's unscannable for a human mind.
And how much do these cost?
That's entirely up to you, because if you join in on a school project, you shouldn't pay more for them than you can resell your composition for at the end of the day. So whatever you think you can resell it for is what you should pay for it. So if you say, this is £20, I cannot do more than £20, I cannot possibly go out and get more than £20 in for this, that's £20. If you are a skilled and advanced composer with a reputation, then you can definitely take more for it. And then you say, well, I can definitely do that, and I can definitely, well, let's say, yeah, we have had various electroacoustic composers in, and some of them know that they can sell their work for a little bit more. So let's say they say, well, I can do it for £500. Well, that's fine. You say £500. But it should be, it's a school project, so really the price should be whatever you can recoup from it, because it's called free education. It is free education.
Free education.
Yeah, because you should be able to get your money back.
What's
at the end of the day. My name is Paul Christian, or Roji Paul, if you like. Roji Paul.
Okay.
The Goody Paul.
Where are you from?
The Faroe Islands.
The West Faroe Islands?
Yep.
That's where you live?
Well, no, right now I'm living here in this very city.
Oh, right.
But that is for girl reasons.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
So, and this is your project? You produce these...
this is my life.
Okay.
This is simply my life.
And do you have a name for your publishing house, or for your imprint, or do you call it anything? Just under your own name?
That's Goody Paul, yeah.
Okay.
It's just Goody Paul.
Thank you.
What is the name of your imprint or
publishing house?
Hats Plus and Hard Mag.
Hats
Plus and Hard Mag.
Okay. And so on the store we've got a variety of magazines, but then there's a plastic case with four, what are they, giant snails?
African giant snails.
Okay.
And they're in conjunction with an English report on British snails, which we have
right
here.
Right.
Which Dan Mitchell is the person to talk to really about this.
That's right.
It's okay.
It looks like a porno magazine.
It's not porno at all, it's sexual. There's a big difference.
Okay.
You can't be... Pornography is there to sexually stimulate you. If you get sexually stimulated by that, you're really weird.
Yeah?
Because they're snails, look.
Well, there's images of snails next to...
Yeah, those are the thoughts of the snail.
Graphic images of sexual...
You couldn't look at those and ignore the snail, right?
No, it's just...
If you want to get turned on by pornography, there's a news agent around the corner. They'll sell you... I mean, do you like cocks? Are they interesting? I mean, sexual.
Why not snails?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think that was because they kind of stand as a symbol for both male and female sexuality to a certain extent.
They're hermaphrodites.
And, they're hermaphrodites as well. So they've got a penis and a vagina. So they have...
And if you look at that, that's like a lady... old African lady's vagina,
uh-huh.
Somewhat, wouldn't you say?
Right. So there's four. Where do you get these from? I mean, are they quite readily available?
They're from the African food market in Brixton.
Yeah. They're still alive, presumably.
They are still alive, very much so. They're very happy. When they're not happy, they're inside their shells.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are you Junior Aspirin
Records? That's right, yeah.
Okay.
You represent Junior Aspirin Records.
Yes, myself, Andy Cook here, and another colleague of ours, Nathaniel Mellors. There are three of us.
And is this a sort of cross-section of what you do, or do you have an extensive back catalogue as well? Or?
This is pretty much the whole back catalogue. There are a few forthcoming releases which are going to come out next month, but aside from that, this is pretty much everything that we've done to date.
A lot of your stuff is on vinyl, it seems. Is that right?
That's right, yeah, it's a lot of vinyl.
Is there any particular reason why you continue to use vinyl rather than any other thing?
I think partly because they're nice objects, and because we work with lots of artist friends who help, with the covers or, submitting kind of art, using their artwork. Just they're nice objects to have. But there is, amongst the kind of independent underground music kind of community, vinyl is still really, really big. So it's not a totally kind of... obsolete format yet. I think people tend to either like to have a really nice big object, like a 12-inch record, or they'll have it on MP3. So we do have a digital distribution facility set up. Well, we do have some CDs, but basically people can download everything here, but you're missing out on the object. We do put quite a lot of work into the...
What kind of music
real kind of mixture of stuff from kind of post-punk influenced music through to spoken word, sort of improvised stuff, dance music.
What's an alternative visual artist working with sound?
It's about 50-50. Okay. I think the most important thing is the most important thing is that it's interesting music rather than that it's a visual artist making music. But because all three of us are from visual arts backgrounds, that's the kind of angle that we're coming at things. You know, we all play in bands and we all make music ourselves, and so.
So how long has it been going?
Since 2001.
Wow. So what's the latest release? What have you got?
The latest one is this, Adventure, which is a radio play with a musical backing by a guy called Nicholas Bullen. He used to be in a band called Napalm Death back in the 80s, who are kind of got quite a kind of cult following. So this is done by Mark Beasley and Steve Beasley. Well, anything from handmade CDR editions, you know, homemade things of like 25 through to about 500 is the biggest one we've done, for which is for The Rebel, who is the it's a solo project of a guy who's a lead singer of a band called the Country Teasers, who've got quite a big cult following. So in doing 500, we knew we could kind of probably break even on that, which is not something we've done, ever done on anything else.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
What's the name? What's the ship? Who are you?
We're called Obeka.
How do you spell it?
We're A-B-A-K-E.
A-B-A-K-E. Abaka.
Exactly, yeah, but it's there's a few details in the letters which makes it sound like Obeka. It's a Swedish name.
Oh, Swedish?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was quite intrigued by the fact that you've got vinyl records and sort of seem to be focusing on people that have got vinyl.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite interested in why people are still producing in this context, especially because if you're mostly a publisher of pamphlets and books or magazines, but in the middle of the store you have a vinyl record.
So you kind of noticed a lot of them all.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Could you tell me about this one?
I think we're a graphic design studio. Oh. And I think one of the things we kind of came across recently was, like, in a way, maybe it's a denial of our own practice. Like, because how do you make records sleep for MP3s? Right. And I think it's sort of like, maybe people are, I mean, maybe we are still hanging on to this idea of actually it's a real object and it has a, right, it's a real format. For kind of a popular message to come across as much graphically as but
so it's as much to do with the design of the object.
But somehow, I don't know, because somehow this one, I mean, all of them are initiated by the musicians themselves. We're not so.
How many different ones have you? Are these all different people? Or?
The same. That's the same one. That's a single for Capital K. It's the forthcoming. It's for the forthcoming album. So that's just a single, and that's for this Swedish artist Johanna Billing.
So this is Johanna Billing original film soundtrack.
Exactly. Yeah.
So do they actually accompany films, or is it just an idea?
She makes films. Those two films were based on the music. So it was just like a natural step to release the music after being releasing the film, which was an art piece. And somehow, I'm not sure it's a romantic thing, because I think it just kind of gives a format for something which is as abstract as music.
Right.
And probably that's what people here are trying to...
Does it tend to be music made by visual artists? Is it visual artists making sound works? Or
yeah, somehow, because she's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, filmmaker and soundtrack is it's kind of become... But, I wouldn't know why vinyls are still relevant, but I think they are.
Ask you who you are.
My name is Michalis Pichler.
Where are you from?
I'm based in Berlin, and,
Have you come over especially for this?
Especially for this fair and for a book launch yesterday of the new paper. The new paper is a newspaper with and about artists who use newspaper as a theme or medium.
That's a what medium?
as a theme or as a medium.
Okay.
Like people who appropriate this technique or the thematics of a newspaper in the work. And it's edited by Eleanor Brown, and I've contributed to it this year, actually.
So there's a whole genre of newspaper
art, then? I mean, newspaper is one of the modernist phenomena in the society of 20th century, and still also in the 21st century, it's probably the publications with the largest print run. So there have been artists appropriating that, I mean, either in collage work, I mean, like Dada stuff, or also Fluxus, people used it a lot. But also in recent decades, there have been a couple of people, and I myself have also published a couple of newspaper projects, also in rotation offset.
And of course, newspapers tend to get thrown away very quickly.
Yeah, potentially. It's an ephemeral medium.
Yeah.
It ages.
So the ones you've got on show here, this is called the Archive of Shredded Catalogues.
Yes.
And these are all look like shredded
books, where they are part of in one or the other way, like artists, but not only, any kind of authorship is welcome. I mean, even also if somebody layouted something, that's also some kind of authorship. They can submit this publication and then it gets shredded and archived. And either because they are unhappy with, for the one or other reason. I mean, like, you can't just shred something just because you don't like it. I mean, at least not in that archive. This archive is really kind of also autobiographical for the contributor, because for someone to submit, it has to be his publication.
Okay.
At least
one item.
Yeah. I mean, it is symbolic, but also, I mean, it's pretty material too.
Yeah. So what happens to them then once they're shredded in the bag?
Well, they get documented, like all the publications before and after shredding get photographed. Then there is a documentation sheet which lists the title, place and year of publishing and who submitted it. And then optional, you can leave a comment why it was submitted.
Tell me about it.
Yes. This book here is called Working Drawings and Other Visible Things on Paper Not Necessarily Meant to be Viewed. And it's the starting point of a series called Greatest Hits, which is the reason steal the idea or paraphrase the title and do them new, maybe like covering the concept or appropriating. So this one, the Working Drawings, is actually an appropriation from a project Mel Bochner did in 1966, and his title was slightly longer. It was Working Drawings and Other Visible Things on Paper Not Necessarily Meant to be Viewed as Art. So I just... Okay, this publication is Xeroxed.
And is that still an ongoing... is that quite an old-fashioned method now?
It is. I used that method because, for conceptual reasons, because also the 1966 project was Xeroxed, and I kind of wanted to be coherent in a way.
Okay, so let's talk about one of these other ones. What else have we got?
All right, so here we have the New York in the Stars and Stripes. So I was living there, and over a time frame from 6 months, I literally documented and collected all the items I would encounter on my everyday routine.
So this is like pizza boxes. Hello, I'm doing something for Resonance Radio.
Right, yep.
And I'm just going around to talk to people who still do things on vinyl.
Okay.
Is that your record?
Is that our record? Yeah, Lick My Favela. Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Bruno.
Okay. And is that your own music?
That's our own music, yeah. It was pretty much like a very independent record that we put out, like 500. A group called Ticini. And back to in 2005 and 2007, we made this record called Leak My Favela, which is more like a baile funk, kind of funk carioca based record, which is a Brazilian rhythm, if you are aware of this. And that's pretty much how it happened.
So is it dance music?
It's very, very dance music and very danceable as well.
Okay. And what's your association with the... Why is it here in this context with these
small
press booklets? Is there some kind of connection?
On a CD.
Okay.
We had these, it was like a 250 home-produced copies. And then an independent record label in Germany saw us performing this show, and then they decided, we just started talking, and then we decided that we should make this...
Damn.